لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Alladheena khasiru anfusahum. And those who have put their, who have wronged their souls, fahum la yu'minun, they will not bring iman. They will not be believers. The Mufassirin have said, who are those who have wronged their souls? Are these the people who have committed sins? Committing sin does not take you out of the fold of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala is saying here that those who have wronged their souls, they will not bring iman. So those who have wronged their souls, they are not only those people who have just committed sins. Instead, the Mufassirun have said, that those who have wronged their souls, these are those people who have committed sins and also they don't have any remorse or any guilt about that sin. So after committing the sin, they don't do tawbah to Allah or they don't feel that, okay, I've done something wrong or okay, I should not have done this. Or sometimes you feel that, oh, I feel very guilty. So truly those people who after committing sins, they don't feel guilty. They don't feel any remorse. They don't feel bad or they don't feel that they have done anything wrong. It is actually these people who have wronged their souls. And sometimes you reach a level of so much farthness with Allah. You are so away from Allah. Though no matter what sins you commit, you don't feel that you've done anything wrong. So this is the case of the person who is very far away from Allah. Sometimes there are people who are actually close to Allah. You will see them praying 5 times a day. You will see them wearing sunnah clothes. You will see them doing all acts which are good acts. But sometimes they will also not be able to find out that they are guilty about certain sins that they commit. And sometimes this happens, that they feel guilty about certain sins very much, and they don't feel guilty about other sins. For example, there are some people, they are very, very conscious about not looking at any non-mahram woman. So they want to protect their eyes. They want to protect their glance. They don't look at non-mahram. And they're very, very careful about this. But at the same time, there might be some other sin, let's say lying. And they are not careful about not lying. So those who are very away from Allah, they are not guilty about any of the sins that they commit. But sometimes those people who are considered pious people, who are considered religious people, sometimes they end up committing some sins also and not feeling guilty about these sins. And the Mufassirin have said that committing sins is not that bad of a deal. But after committing sin, if you don't feel that you should do tawbah to Allah, or if you don't feel that you've done something wrong, then this is something even worse. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Kullu bani Adama khata'u." All of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, they are sinners. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُ. And among those sinners, the best one is the one who does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who feels that he has done something wrong and he makes promises to Allah that I will not do this again. So that means even if you commit sins, you can still be the best person on earth if you have this habit of doing tawbah for your sins. If you understand that, yes, I have done something wrong and I am guilty about this. So this feeling of guilt inside of you, this feeling of remorse inside of you, this is such a beautiful thing that it can make you the best person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and if you don't have this feeling of guilt and remorse, then you will lose this iman. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person commits a sin, a black spot comes on his heart. And if he does tawbah, the black spot is removed from his heart. That means if you have remorse, if you have guilt and you do tawbah, then your heart shines again. And then further on, the Prophet ﷺ said that if he does not do tawbah, then he's going to commit another sin. Why? Because he has no guilt, he has no remorse. So he'll commit sin very easily. So the Prophet said that he's going to commit another sin, then there will be another black spot on his heart. Then he's going to commit another sin. Then there will be another black spot on his heart. And then the Prophet said that a time will come when all of his heart is going to be completely black. And this black heart is the heart of the person who does not believe. Nothing works on that person. So one of the biggest favors of Allah, one of the biggest ni'mas of Allah, one of the biggest things that you can have in this world is this feeling of remorse, the feeling of guilt that I have done something wrong. And in these times and days, we have lost that feeling. That is why a lot of people, they lie. And they lie very easily. Sometimes they're lying to their wives. Sometimes they're lying to their parents. And they feel that they have not committed any sins. And sometimes, you know, businessmen, they lie to their customers. And we think that, okay, there's nothing wrong with lying. Everybody does it. Well, even if everybody is doing it, it is still a very big sin. The Prophet ﷺ said that the signs of the munafiq there are three signs of the munafiq, and the first sign is that when this munafiq is going to talk, he's going to lie. And we think lying is not that big of a deal. Everybody's doing it. So when you lose this sense of remorse and sense of guilt, then you lose iman. So one of the biggest ni'mas, one of the biggest favors of Allah is having this sense of remorse. When you commit your sin, your eyes are wet. You feel that you've done something wrong. In the same way, a lot of people, they feel that backbiting is not a sin. They backbite. And they talk about other people. And they vilify other people. And they think it's okay. A few friends will gather and they will make fun of other people. And sometimes we will talk about politicians and we'll backbite about them. And if they come in front of us and they stand with us, we'll never say those words that we have said behind their backs. Is that not backbiting? It is backbiting, and backbiting, according to the hadith, is such a sin. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. The backbiting is a bigger sin than zina, than fornication. So sometimes we are not feeling remorse about very big sins, like lying and backbiting. And some people, they misuse their eyes, they look at Namahram, and they feel that, okay, this is not that big of a sin. Especially in these times when social media is everywhere. Everybody has a phone and he uses social media. You look at non-mahram women, or women look at men, and they feel that, okay, there's nothing wrong with it. And one of the reasons why we say that there's nothing wrong with it is because we say that everybody is doing it. And because of this, we lose our sense of guilt and our sense of remorse. One, we are looking at non-mahram. Two, we're not even saying to Allah that, oh Allah, I've done something wrong. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ has referred to when he said that looking at Namahram is an arrow of the shaitan. And this attack of shaitan has worked on us. Allahu Akbar. So for some people, looking at Namahram is not that big of a sin. They don't feel any guilt anymore. For some people, eating haram is also not a sin anymore. They say, well, everybody does it. If I lie to my customers and I charge them more, there's nothing wrong with it. And this feeling of always trying to comfort yourself that, okay, there's nothing wrong with it, is very bad. If you commit a sin, then you tell Allah that, oh Allah, I'm very weak. And I do tawbah. And when you do this, whatever sins that you've committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. But if you are committing a sin and then you're saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, then there is no tawfiq of tawbah. Allah. So sometimes we do these types of sins, that we eat haram, and we don't feel that we've done anything wrong. And sometimes we're listening to music and we say, oh, everything has music in it. There's nothing wrong with music. Well, the Prophet ﷺ has said that there's everything that could be wrong is wrong with music. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has said that listening to music makes nifaq grow in your heart. The way greenery grows when it rains. So when you listen to music, you are actually becoming a munafiq. And we make our young children listen to music. Whoa, these are just nursery rhymes. Well, yes, they're nursery rhymes, but it has music in it. You're actually making your own child a munafiq. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So if you are committing a sin, at least you should have this remorse, this guilt that I'm not doing something right. And this is one of the biggest ni'mas of Allah. And this is what we have lost. It is such a big ni'mah. It is such a big favor of Allah that if you have this, the Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nadmu tawbatu." This feeling of guilt is tawbah. If you have this feeling of guilt in your heart, you don't even have to say to Allah that, oh Allah, please forgive me. Allah knows what is in your heart. So the mashayikh have said that there are four things that you must learn about this guilt or this remorse. What a beautiful thing this remorse is. Feeling bad about committing sins. This is what remorse is. And there are four things the mashayikh have said. One, the first thing is that if you don't have this feeling of remorse, even a small sin can take you to the hellfire. In a hadith it comes that there was a worshipper, there was a person, an ascetic in Bani Israel who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. And one day when he came out of his house, he saw a small hill which was all brown, there was no greenery on it. And he thought in his heart that if it was green, it would have looked much better and much beautiful. As soon as he thought about this, that had Allah made this greener, it would have been more beautiful. It came in his heart that Allah said to him, that, oh, my servant, now you are giving me opinions as to what looks good and what does not look good. And you're finding fault in what I am creating. So when this ilqa, when this feeling came in his heart that Allah is telling him this, he felt very bad because he was a very pious man who's always worshipped Allah all through his life. So he had so much remorse and he had so much guilt that he decided, okay, until a time will come when Allah is going to give me a clear sign that Allah has forgiven me, I am not going to eat. And when he said this to his friends in his city, they started making fun of him. That no, there's nothing wrong with eating. You can eat. He said, no, if I eat, Allah is going to be very upset with me. He's already very upset. I don't want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more angry with me. They said, okay, if Allah becomes angry at you, we will take whatever Allah has. We will take this anger of Allah on us. So they thought there's nothing wrong with committing such a small sin. And as soon as they said this, then whatever anger Allah has, we will take that anger on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in his heart, oh, my servant, you leave this city. They think that my disobeying me is not a big deal. I will tell them and I will show them that it is a very big deal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his azab, sent his anger on that city. And each one of them perished. So there's four things the Akabareen, the scholars have said about guilt and remorse. That if you have no guilt, then even a small sin can lead you towards hellfire. And if you have guilt, the biggest sin that you commit, even that sin, because of this guilt, Allah is going to forgive that sin. What a beautiful thing this guilt is. There's a book called Tanbihul Ghafileen. And in that book, there's a story written about this person who used to steal the cloth in which people were buried. So when people would come to the graveyard and would put the dead body in the grave, and when the people would leave, he would open the grave and he would steal that cloth and sell that cloth in the market. And one day somebody saw him. Nobody knew that he was, he used to steal this cloth that the dead body would wear. One day some people were looking at him and he was crying profusely, loudly screaming and crying. And Umar radiallahu anhu saw him. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what is it, young man? Why are you crying? He said, I've committed a very big sin. Umar radiallahu anhu said, well, is your sin even bigger than the arsh of Allah? He said, yes, my sin is even bigger than the arsh of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, if you have remorse, Allah is going to forgive you. Let me take you to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu took him to the Blessed Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was still crying and he was screaming and he was all sad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What is wrong with you, young man? Why are you crying?" He said, "I've committed a very big sin." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No problem. Is your sin even bigger than the arsh of Allah? The throne of Allah?" He said, "Yes, it is even bigger than the throne of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Okay, what sin did you commit?" He said, "O Prophet of Allah, you know, this is what I do for a living. That when people, they put their dead bodies in the grave, I open the grave and I steal the cloth and I sell that cloth. And this is how I feed myself." So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "May Allah forgive you." And he said, "O Prophet of Allah, last week they buried a young woman from the Ansar and I opened her grave also. And I stole her cloth, but when I saw her body, Shaitan had overtaken me so much that I committed fornication with that woman. And O Prophet of Allah, what a big sinner I am, that when I was getting out of the grave after doing this crime, this very big sin, I heard the voice of this woman. And she scolded me and she said, 'What a wretched man you are. May Allah bestow his anger on you. You've committed this sin with me and you forced me to stand on the day of judgment in front of Allah in a state of impurity.'" And he said, "O Prophet of Allah, since I have heard these words from this dead woman, I cannot sleep, I cannot understand." And the Prophet ﷺ turned to him and said, "Yes, this is a very big sin." And as soon as he heard that, okay, he's committed a very big sin, he started crying again. That means even the Prophet ﷺ thinks that this sin might not be forgiven. So he started crying and he left the masjid and he went on and on and he went into the mountains. And he kept on crying for a couple of days and he didn't eat anything and he started doing tawbah to Allah and he kept on crying in front of Allah. And after a couple of days, the angel Jibreel Amin, he descended and he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "O Prophet of Allah, Allah is sending his salams to you. And Allah is saying, ask the Messenger, who is the creator of everyone? Is it him or is it me?" The Prophet ﷺ answered, "Well, Allah is the creator of me and everyone else." Then the angel Jibreel said that Allah is asking another question, that asked the Messenger, "Who is going to forgive people? Is it him who's going to forgive or is it Allah who's going to forgive?" And the Messenger ﷺ said that Allah is the one who forgives me and who's going to forgive everyone else. Then the angel Jibreel, he said, that Allah is announcing that Allah has forgiven that man who had committed fornication with the dead body. Allah. So that means if you have remorse, if you have guilt, even the biggest of sins are forgiven. So four things the mashayikh have said, the scholars have said, that if you don't have any remorse and guilt, then even a small sin can take you to the hellfire. And if you have remorse and guilt, then even if you committed a biggest sin in the world, it will still be forgiven by Allah. And the third thing that the mashayikh have said, that if somebody commits a sin, and then he has remorse and guilt and he does tawbah to Allah, then one should not make fun of that person. And one should not, taunt that person. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if somebody commits a sin and he does tawbah, sincere tawbah to Allah, and then after doing tawbah, somebody starts taunting him and making fun of him, then Allah is not going to take the life of that person who's taunting until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in the same sin. So that's the third thing the Mashayikh said. That even if you see people sinning, don't make fun of them. Don't taunt them. They can do tawbah to Allah and they can be very close to Allah. And we can make fun of them and we can be very far away from Allah. So one has to be careful. We should not look at sinners with a, in a way that we look at them in a very condescending way. They could still be very close to Allah. They could still be very high up in ranks. So four things the Mashayikh had said. That if you have remorse, if you don't have remorse, a small sin can take you to the hellfire. If you have remorse, the biggest sin will be forgiven. And if somebody has remorse and he has committed sin and he does tawbah, don't make fun of that person. Don't taunt that person. Because Allah is going to involve you in that sin if you taunt that person. And the fourth and a very important thing about this guilt and remorse, that this is something that one has to learn. This is an attribute that should be in our heart, this sense of guilt and sense of remorse. And this attribute is attained in the company of the Mashayikh. This attribute is attained in the company of the Mashayikh, the scholars. When you go in their company, then this is how the heart becomes. And you start feeling that you are somebody who should be doing tawbah. You start understanding, you start becoming sensitive towards your sins. And one last thing that I will mention, and then inshallah we'll end our lecture today. But there was a scholar by the name of Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahimahullah, in the Indian subcontinent in the 1700s or 1800s rather, in the 19th century. And he went to a sheikh, and the sheikh said, well, why don't you stay for one night in my khanqah, in this, in my place? And he said, well, I don't want to stay one night in your khanqah because I have a habit of sleeping the whole night. Here people are worshiping the whole night and I don't have this, tempo of doing this. So instead of feeling remorse that I cannot worship Allah and I don't have this habit of worshiping Allah, he said, this is the reason I don't feel like staying the night. So the sheikh said, okay, fine. Nobody's going to disturb you. You stay here. Nobody's going to wake you. So he went to sleep. He said, okay, fine. I'll stay here for one night. He went to sleep. But at the Hajj time, he woke up and he saw everyone in the Khanqah was worshipping Allah, making du'as. Even the Shaykh was up and he was making du'as and doing nafal prayers. So he felt bad, although he was a scholar. He said, I'm a scholar. And look, everybody else is worshipping Allah at this blessed time of the Hajj. And I don't do it anyways and I don't want to do it today. So he felt very bad and he got up. And he made wuzu and he prayed nafal prayers. And then he also made dua and everything. And then in the morning, when he was about to leave, he came to the sheikh to say bye. And the sheikh said, well, why don't you learn this beautiful characteristic of worshiping Allah? He said, sheikh, do make me learn it. I want to be your student. The sheikh said, then you'll have to stay here for 40 days. And he said, okay, fine, I will stay here. And he made a commitment. And he stayed here for 40 days. And after 40 days, the sheikh said, okay, let me check if he has improved. And what did the sheikh wanted to check? Whether he has remorse, whether he has guilt, or he does not feel that he has done anything wrong. So the sheikh, while sitting on the, they were having food together, and the sheikh said, well, you sit at the corner of the table and don't sit with us. You're in the middle. When he said this to the scholar, this young alim, the sheikh wanted to see if he feels that, why is he saying this to me? Or is he going to feel that, yes, I am, you know, worthy of not sitting next to the sheikh. And the sheikh saw that he feels that he is not worthy of sitting next to the sheikh. So he has remorse inside of him. So the sheikh became very happy that he spent 40 days here. Now he has remorse and he has guilt inside him. And then the sheikh checked further. Then we check more. And he said, you know what? I should have sent you in the shoes and you should have sat where the shoes are instead of sitting with us. Now the sheikh said that he might get angry and he might feel that, oh, I'm a scholar. How dare he deals with me like this? But instead, that scholar, Rashid Ahmad Dangohi, Rahimah, he said, Sheikh, you are right. I'm not even worthy of sitting in the shoes of the scholars. And you have done such a favor on me that you let me sit in that same place where you're eating. At this point, the Sheikh said, yes. Now he has attained what I wanted. Now I have been successful. And what has he attained? He has attained this sense of guilt and sense of remorse. So when people go in the company of the mashayikh and they form a relationship with the mashayikh, whatever the best thing that they can gain is this sense of remorse and sense of guilt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us this sense of remorse. It is one of the biggest favors of Allah. And those who have this sense of guilt and remorse, this true sense of guilt, these are the best people in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us this feeling and this characteristic. I request all of you to make a short dua. Please raise your hands. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya ibn Mursaleen. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.